Welcome to hour number three. It's Ask the AD with Boise State Athletic Director Kurt Afsy. Every Thursday at 5, we go down this road. Welcome to Kurt joining us here. Cave's here, Prater there, Kurt in the middle, John Patrick on the other side. Not Facebook Living this, very preoccupied with women's golf or whatever else he can
watch. Nope, that's not true.
He's trying to find the track meet for us.
That's right. Yeah. Kurt came in, he made a request, and I'm trying to make sure that I deliver on that.
I appreciate that.
We'll get back to that. One of the questions I wanted to ask about Kurt is the emerging trend, if it is one, that athletic directors are being hired from backgrounds other than coming straight out of the athletic department. I don't think this is a bad or a good thing. Mm-hmm. I just think this is something I've noticed. There was an insurance guy at Oregon, I think. There's been boosters. Colorado State had a former quarterback. They went to a booster guy. I thought he was an insurance guy. We just had a big hire at Syracuse that came outside of the community of athletic directors from television with tremendous, qualifications, it appears. Is there anything to this, or is it not? Is there still the majority of the top 65 Power 5 jobs going to guys that used to coach and went into administration?
I'd say the majority's probably there. I don't know if it's a trend. I guess I can understand, why they do that, because college sports these days is big business. And you guys had mentioned earlier about, hiring CFOs who have run big companies, and athletics in many cases has turned into something like that. I'm not sure it's a trend, though. I do really, I get why they would do that, and maybe thinking that someone who has experience in running a multi-million dollar company with a lot of employees and trying to handle that kind of money and dealing with television networks and everything you've got to have on the legal side. I mean, it makes some sense. Whether they're better than the 20-year veteran or not, I couldn't tell you. In fact, I think the Syracuse guy is a graduate of Syracuse. I think he went there.
Correct.
And then I think you were talking about Pat Kilkenny at Oregon, longtime donor. And I don't ever think the plan was for Pat to be in there forever. I think
right.
he was kind of an interim for 2 years or something. And then they actually hired one of Mark's co-workers from Kentucky. And so, a guy with a lot of background, but I think his was more on the business side of things. And so I think you hire to people's strengths. In my experience in this business, and this is probably why I'm able to sit in this chair, is that I think fundraising is a big part of it, and especially these days. And so if you can bring a background of success in that area, I think that's very helpful in today's world of athletics, just because, we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And by no means am I saying I'm the best fundraiser in the world, but that is my background, and we've had some success at Boise State with me involved in that. And so I don't think it's a trend, but certainly understand why someone would want to go that direction.
I'm not a big fan of the Oregon hire a few years ago. It worked out fine, and they hired a business guy, Kilkenny, as you pointed out, right. And a fan, and a guy to kind of be a stopgap guy. But I thought the Syracuse hire was phenomenal, and reading his resume and negotiating all those contracts and sitting around and basically banging out multi-million dollar deals.
Right.
That's good. But now you got to go out and shake hands with the public and raise funds. How does he make that transition from going to the boardroom into the barroom to beg people for money?
I think it just depends on the type of person he is. Is he able to walk into a room with a bunch of people that he doesn't know and, speak publicly about whatever he's got to talk about? I think he's got to be able to create the relationships that are necessary. And fundraising, to me, there's a little bit of art to it, but it's just about being a good person and being honest and being able to tell your story and identifying the needs and trying to create those relationships where people trust that, you have a program headed in the right direction, you have a vision for it, and you're able to justify where the money's going to be spent. And then you just have to have the ability, I think, to smile once in a while and treat people right and, get them believing that, in my case, Boise State Athletics is a good investment. And so he could be a good fundraiser. We don't know that. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are, uncomfortable in that area of our business. And that's okay. But I think a well-rounded AD usually has the ability to go out and create and generate those relationships so that people are willing to give.
Kurt Afsy, our guest, Ask the AD, here Thursdays at 5 on Sports Radio, The Ticket. I did read, as of 2 years ago, Kurt, 80% of hires at athletic directors' positions in Division I at minimum came from the revenue side of the operation, and either that or they came from a business background. Yeah. And that trend, that's not a trend. That's like, if you haven't handled the money or brought the money, if you haven't brought the money in and been steering it where it's coming from, this is not the job for you in today's climate. And that's a lot of emphasis on money.
Well, I believe that to some degree. I mean, I also think good leaders surround themselves with people that are experts in their field. You know, I always say this kind of jokingly with our staff, but if I know more than you do in your job, I probably don't need you. And so there's a lot of challenges that I have as athletic director where I need to surround myself with people that are experts in their field. One of them is being a CFO. The other one is handling compliance. You know, Christina Van Tall, our senior associate AD, handles a lot of the internal stuff that goes on within our department with our student athletes and our academics and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, to me, great leadership has the ability to surround themselves with people that can get the job done or maybe makes up the slack in certain areas where I'm not so strong. And, you know, I feel good about who I've been able to surround our staff with in terms of what we need and maybe I'm not the best person to provide that skill. So we make sure that we've got people in those positions. So I don't necessarily think you've got to be great at one of these, but I think the one thing you do need to do is you need to realize your weaknesses and you've got to fill those gaps with staff within your department.
Well, then maybe in 20% of those cases, they've got tremendous people around them that are revenue producers or in charge of revenue. And this business is the same. A lot of businesses are. You come from the business side of things. Hey, at least he'll keep us solvent or have a better idea of doing it. Yeah. But this idea of nonprofit school and nothing, anything other than big business, it is so apparent every day. I wonder at what point in our future it becomes completely dependent upon athletic department revenue for a lot of different enterprises that are outside the athletic department, especially at the Power 5 level where I don't know where the end is in sight for money for these guys.
Well, you know, their television contracts take care of a lot of that. In our case here at Boise State, you know, state funding has continued to decrease, and so that's put a lot more pressure on our team to go raise money. And so we've got a great group of people doing that. You know, the one thing I'll say about, too, bringing someone in from the private side and into, you know, an institutional environment like ours, which is public, I think that's a shocker, at least when you first walk in there and you've never been a part of something like that. Because, you know, we talk about red tape and all that kind of stuff, and it's there for a reason. It's not a professional sports environment. At least it's not supposed to be. And I would think that someone coming in from the private side who hasn't been around something like that, not that they couldn't get used to it, but I think that would probably be frustrating, you know, Jeff, for someone like you to walk out of public or private business that you've been in your whole life and then walk into a place like our shop and have to deal with all of
there is a lot of check with me, and there is.
And teamwork. And you know, you can take that two ways. You can say, hey, I want to fight this. I don't like it. I'm going to be mad and pissed off about it every day. Or you accept it and you find the ways to communicate and get around it if you can as much as possible to make it work and follow the guidelines that are in place. But I could see someone from the private side being frustrated in the beginning with something like that.
It seems like to me a lot of the private side guys that do come in, they're short-termers almost. They're there for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
If they're Pat Hayden, they were there for a specific purpose, maybe to hire coaches, get that football program righted. I'm out of here. I got more money than I got time.
Yeah.
And maybe some of these other people that are at higher profile places to get stadiums built like they did at Colorado State. Yeah. It seems to be what happens sometimes.
Well, I've had a couple conversations with some people when they were going through the Washington AD search. And I think there was a lot of support for Jen Cohen up there. But I think some people were going, man, Washington could have gotten whoever they wanted. But they brought in a 20-year veteran who's very close to that community, who raised a lot of money for that. She oversaw football. She worked closely with Coach Pete, similar to my situation, you know. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to meet her, but
I haven't.
That girl, she's sharp, but she's a heck of a fundraiser, and people up there love her.